BSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Tuesday to you. Welcome into a new day here on the program. A very cold day. It was freezing out there as I left the house and came in to work. It's about 18 degrees I think I had on my car, which I don't think is 100% accurate, but gives you a rough idea. And rough being the key word there because it is cold out there. It's not just cold. It's windy. And so that makes it feel even colder. So bundle up if you are heading out this morning. That's pretty much the forecast for the whole week, is it's going to be cold. It's going to be windy. It's also January, so that's what we expect. But here in New Bedford, we have a new city council president. He will be here with us later on in the morning. He'll be here during the 8 o'clock hour. Shane Burgo will be here speaking with you, taking your calls. And we'll talk about some of the things that have been said about now Council President Burgo. I think that it was a very interesting meeting. I watched it in its entirety. Thanks to the councilors for wrapping it up in time for me to see the debut of Monday Night Raw on Netflix. We'll get into that too. But it was, you can read about it at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app, and you can watch it on the city website. On the city council page under the archives, you can find it in the past meetings and watch the video for yourself. And I'm sure Chris will play clips later on this morning. But when it came time for the nominations, Ryan Pereira nominated Shane Burgo. I'm sorry, Maria Giesta nominated Shane Burgo. Ryan Pereira seconded, but then spoke as to why. Leo Chiquette nominated Sean Oliver, as we knew he would, and spoke as to why. But then Councilor-at-Large Brian Gomes, who is the, as he put it, and as he said that the other councilors put it, the dean of the council, having been the longest-serving city councilor on the council, he gave an impassioned speech about the rhetoric that had surrounded this contest that developed between Shane Burgo and Sean Oliver. And he talked about it from a perspective of not only what was said on the radio, but, you know, he, and as anybody who has been following for a long time knows, Brian Gomes and Jack Spillane have their issues. Or Brian Gomes, I should say, Brian Gomes has his issues with Jack Spillane. And he called him out by name. He talked about the conversations that were happening on the radio. And spoke, again, very passionately about the need to kind of ignore all that noise. And so when the vote happened, it was 7-4 for Shane Burgo. So he won the presidency with Councilors Ian Abreu, Joe Lopes, Leo Chiquette, and Sean Oliver all voting for Oliver instead. And then Councilor Gomes asked in the, you know, the spirit of cooperation and working together and the work that they'll have to do going forward in this year, he asked for a unanimous vote for Shane Burgo for council president, and still Councilor Chiquette and Oliver voted no. So he did not get the unanimous vote. Councilors Abreu and Lopes did vote yes in that vote. So what does that mean? Does that mean that we'll have a fractured council going forward? No, I don't think so. I think these councilors are ready to work together and do the work that they need to do in 2025. And we know Chris will have both Councilor Chiquette and Councilor Oliver on the show. And I'm sure they'll get more in depth about that decision. But I think what you'll see is a group that wants to work together and get things done and move things forward, because we're finally starting to come out of the fog of the last few years of what went on in 2020. And you're going to start to see more and more important issues come before the council and be put on the plate of the entire city. And we're going to look to them to be the leaders that they're elected to be, rather than any continued infighting that we know has happened in recent years. But again, Councilor Berger will be here later this morning, and we're going to talk to him about all of the things that have been said about him and find out where he stands on many of these things, these as I called them, Burgo boogeymen that have been brought up about what he stands for. I saw a comment on our story on Facebook where somebody was making fat jokes about Councilor Burgo, which is the lowest form of commentary. It just shows that you have no idea what you're talking about when that's what you go for. And then said, well, anybody, you know, I'm never going to be for anybody who is for defunding the police. When Councilor Burgo came out directly and said to Jack Spillane, he has never been and is not for defunding the police. But that's the problem, is if somebody wants to believe it, they're going to believe it no matter what the person might say. Your word as a human being doesn't matter anymore, because somebody can have the right to believe what they want to believe no matter what you tell them. And we've created this false notion in recent times that every opinion is valid. And that's just not true. If you have an opinion that is created and based on misinformation, unfactual information, then your opinion is not valid. Your opinion is wrong. And we need to get back to a point where we all can agree as a society on that. But somehow along the way, we decided it was okay for you to believe whatever you want to believe. And your defense of that is, well, that's just my opinion. Opinions are supposed to be educated. Opinions are supposed to be based in fact. And if your opinion is not and you are incorrect, you're supposed to be able to change your opinion. You're supposed to be open-minded enough to say, well, I guess I didn't have all of the details. I guess I didn't know everything I was supposed to know. I just relied on what somebody else told me and didn't look into it for myself. And that's the biggest problem that we have going now, is that people just rely on others for information, whether it be stories they read or hear or conversations they hear or even just memes they see on social media. And it's not enough for them. It's not enough for you to form an opinion, yet you still form one anyway. with no flexibility to admit if you are wrong. So I think after we talk to now Council President Burgo this morning, some of you are going to have to come away and say, well, I guess I was wrong. And I hope that you will have the open-mindedness and the fairness to be able to do that. And that's what learning and growing as a person is about. The same way I'm sure Council President Burgo can come in here today and say, you know, things that I thought might have been good ideas I've learned now or not. Because you can remain open-minded and have your mind changed about things. And in terms of being able to do the role and function of council president, he'll do a fine job. You basically need to be able to manage the personalities, keep order in the meetings, and follow Robert's rules of order. And that's all within Shane Burgo's wheelhouse. Nowhere does it say in the description of the council president's role that you can put into place radical leftist philosophies that Councilor Burgo may or may not have. Because again, all he's done is suggest conversations about things. The same way I suggest conversations about things. So, well, let's talk about it. And what happens is people call me up and say, well, you're for 10 cities. No, I'm not. I think it's a stupid idea. But we can still talk it out, and I'm open to having my mind changed. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Yeah, good morning. I'd like to know who are the councilors that voted for Burgo and who are the ones that voted against Burgo?
So the,
because your news department, I just get the bare minimum. It's sad to say I got to listen to other radio stations to get more news about our city.
Okay, what
radio station?
Okay, what other radio station are you listening to get news about New Bedford?
I listen to Providence. I get news from New Bedford. I listen to Fall River.
Okay, so you can go listen to them then. Thanks. You want to call up and insult the radio station? I don't need to take your phone call. There's no reason to even talk to you. What's the point? Go call the Rhode Island radio stations if you think you get more news from them. We do the best we can with what we have. You don't like it? Change the dial. But I will answer your question as to who voted for, you know, which I was ready to do until you decided you wanted to start insulting the radio station. But the councilors who voted against Sean Oliver were Ian Abreu, Joe Lopes, Leo Chiquette, Sean Oliver. They voted against Shane Burgo, which means that the councilors that were for were Giesta, Carney, Morad, Baptiste, Burgo, obviously, Gomes, Ryan Pereira. Did I name everybody? I think I did. So it was 7-4 on the initial vote with, again, Abreu, Lopes, Chiquette, Oliver as the no votes. And then Councillor Gomes asked for a unanimous vote to show support and solidarity with the new council president. And in that vote, everybody voted yes except for Councillor Chiquette and Oliver. So there's your two votes that happened. Really, only the first one matters, but there were two votes taken. And in the second vote, Councilors Abreu and Lopes voted in support of Burgo, and Chiquette and Oliver remained no votes. which you would also have known if you had just read the story at WBSM.com. This is 2025, and the world is a little different. In the 3 minutes of news that Phil Devitt gives you every hour, we're not going to tell you everything that you need to know. We want you to go to the website and read the more expansive story. What you are getting in the newscast is just the headlines. Just the bare minimum facts. You want more? That's why you go to the website. Which it's all there, I know, because I spent the time last night to watch the meeting and write it. 508-996-0500. We're going to take a break here, and we'll be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. It is time now to go into the newsroom, and we will get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt. Take it away, Phil.
Congress certifies Trump's election victory. Canada's prime minister stepping down. And a good ending for a well-dressed runaway monkey.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Congress convened Monday in the midst of a snowstorm to certify President-elect Donald Trump's election victory in a smooth and orderly process, a stark contrast to 4 years ago when throngs of Trump supporters breached security barriers at the U.S. Capitol and stormed the building to try to overturn the 2020 election results. Vice President Harris, who lost the election to Trump, oversaw the proceedings, certifying Trump's win and announcing the final tally, 312 to 226. Rudy Giuliani was found in contempt of court Monday for failing to properly respond to requests for information as he turned over assets to satisfy a $148 million defamation judgment granted to two Georgia election workers. Judge Louis J. Lyman ruled after hearing Giuliani testify for a second day at a contempt hearing called after lawyers for the election workers said the former New York City mayor had failed to properly comply with requests for evidence over the last few months. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced his resignation on Monday, saying he intends to step down from the top job and as the leader of Canada's ruling Liberal Party once a new party leader is chosen. Trudeau added he has one regret, failing to reform Canada's election process ahead of a general election expected this fall. An average of 10 million viewers tuned into the 82nd Golden Globes across CBS and Paramount Plus, according to Dick Clark Productions. That's roughly matching the audience for last year's broadcast. Before the pandemic, though, Globes typically drew closer to 20 million viewers. In 2020, 18.4 million people watched the Globes. McDonald's is scaling back its diversity and inclusion programs. The fast food giant is ending some initiatives following the Supreme Court's ruling against affirmative action in college admissions and a growing conservative backlash. The company will no longer set specific diversity goals for its senior leadership and will end programs aimed at increasing diversity among its suppliers. McDonald's will also pause external surveys, likely referring to those that measure workplace inclusion for LGBTQ plus employees. The decision comes after several other major companies, including Walmart and John Deere, rolled back their DEI initiatives. Hilda de Song of Belgium made history in 2024 by running a marathon every single day of the year, really pushing her physical and mental limits. De Song, a seasoned runner, raised over $67,000 for breast cancer research during the challenge. And while she faced numerous physical and mental hurdles, she persevered, emphasizing the importance of patience and gradual progress for aspiring runners. She's currently recovering from a minor injury, but plans to return to running soon. And a runaway monkey wearing a pink tutu was captured in Missouri just before a winter storm. The spider monkey escaped from a nearby home and was spotted at a busy intersection. Deputies successfully negotiated with the primate, returned it to its owner. Photos show the monkey approaching a deputy and grabbing his hands. The sheriff's office called it a good example of their adaptability, as the storm would have made the search much more complicated.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Bruins are home to play the Edmonton Oilers. That's tonight at 7. And the Celtics are away to play the Denver Nuggets. That game tonight at 10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Mostly sunny on the South Coast today, a high of 31 degrees. We'll look for the same on Wednesday. On Thursday, some clouds move in. It's a bit windier, a high of 29. And as we head into the weekend, mostly sunny skies on Friday with a high of 35 degrees. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy, only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
For keeping that song going as I was having a coughing attack. But we are back, 508-996-0500. If you want to call in, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. If you can't call in. And we have, of course, Shane Burgo joining us, the new city council president, in the 8 o'clock hour. And he'll take your phone calls during that time. I did mention that I would I'd talk about the Monday Night Raw premiere on Netflix, because I'm sure some of you out there watched it as well, and some of you out there might be interested in just hearing, you know, some of the what might have gone right, what might have gone wrong. And I will say that for the most part, everything seemed to go pretty smoothly. There were no buffering issues. I never lost signal. Never had any degradation of signal. Had a nice, crisp 4K picture. And what a difference it is to see it actually broadcast in true 4K. And the sound was great, except for a few times the announcers' microphones would cut out. But I know it wasn't the sound overall. It was just their microphones, because you could still hear the music and the background noise and all of that. So I think they might have just been having some technical trouble with their headsets. But other than that, I thought everything went very smoothly. I liked the different camera angles that they utilized. I liked having the drone footage with the 360-degree shots. You know, under the previous production manager, Kevin Dunn, I guess, you know, I don't know exactly what title you'd want to use for. I mean, he held a number of different titles, but he oversaw the way that the product looked on television. And things got very, like, it was the same camera here, camera there, hard cam over here, go to this shot, go to this shot, go to that shot. and it became very predictable. And now with the new regime of Paul, Triple H, Levesque, and Lee Fitting, they're now coming up with innovative things for the presentation that really benefits the viewer, and certainly, you know, the Netflix experience helps with. And I can see more and more, you know, as the years go on, more and more interactive things. So we're going to get to the point where eventually you're going to be putting on your VR headset and watching this live like you're in the arena. But the presentation was fantastic. I thought the show went a little bit long. And that's the thing now with it being on Netflix, there are no time constraints or requirements. So Triple H even said, you know, we can go 4 hours, we can go 40 minutes. And so I think what you'll see is, you know, for the most part, they'll stick to a 3 hour show, but sometimes it might be a little shorter, sometimes it might be a little bit longer. This actually went over by a few minutes. And I just thought that everything worked out really well. I liked the smaller stage setup. I hope they stick with that. We don't need a huge screen. That opens up more arena seating for people that want to go. And I think that you saw a pretty good version of the product for newcomer fans to get excited about. Very interestingly, they decided to bring Hulk Hogan out as part of the show, which I don't consider Hulk Hogan to be a huge part of the Monday Night Raw experience, believe it or not, because by the time Raw really was a thing, Hogan had moved on. Like, by the time it became appointment viewing, he was with the other company. And even during his comeback, he was more of a SmackDown guy than a Raw guy. But they brought him out anyway because they've started a partnership with his Real American Beer, who is now a sponsor of Monday Night Raw. And he was booed the whole time he was out there. I'm assuming because of his political choices. They were in Los Angeles, California. Probably not the place to bring out the Megamaniac. And I say that, you know, that's Hulkamaniac. I'm not saying he's a maniac because he's mega, but he has now been very vocal in his support for Donald Trump, and I think that that's not the place to bring him out in his return to the company. A lot of WWE fans have kind of turned on Hogan over the years anyway. A lot of the younger fans who didn't watch him wrestle in WWE don't understand the allure of why people still put him on a pedestal. When he was here with us on the program, you know, things were apolitical. We did not talk about politics at all. He talked about unity and wanting to come together. But he was booed pretty hard last night. So I just think that wasn't the smartest way to bring him back if they wanted to do business with Hogan again. But the rest of the show was very good. I think that they are going to see big numbers on Netflix. I think they're going to see, you know, now it's reaching a global audience live all at the same time. It's only going to help the product grow even more. Hopefully, they can continue to turn out a good product for that large audience. And of course, The Rock came out last night, and it was like everything that happened in the last year or so. Oh, forget about all that. I'm The Rock. You guys like me. I like you. We're all friends. Kayfabe is dead. I'm not the final boss anymore. I'm just everybody's favorite guy. But I thought it was interesting that, you know, he was at the, obviously, the Intuit Dome, huge show. But then he was saying, and I'll also be at NXT at the Shrine tomorrow night. So he's going to go show up on the developmental show that his daughter happens to be on. So, but it's good that he's back in the mix and he'll probably be involved in WrestleMania. Of course, if you really want to get involved in WrestleMania, it would have been nice if when he went to put the Ulafala on Roman Reigns, if he had just put it on himself instead. That's what I was expecting. But it was still a fun show. And that's a spoiler alert, by the way, if you hadn't had a chance to watch it yet. I should have warned you. And but the important part is, between the Christmas NFL games and now Monday Night Raw, I have more faith that Netflix can handle big live events after the streaming disaster that was the Tyson Paul fight. That was just a buffering nightmare for so many people. And I didn't really see anybody talking about buffering issues with Raw or with the NFL games. So that's a good sign going forward, because you are going to see more entities sign these streaming deals. Streaming is the future. The same way cable was the future 40 years ago, streaming is the future now. And for people who want to be able to get things a la carte, streaming is probably your best option for that. And at least you get more, at least in my opinion, you get more value for the buck with certain streaming outlets than you do with cable. And if you are a wrestling fan, check out Heels on Netflix. It's a Starz show that Netflix picked up. I'm halfway through season two, and it's pretty good. You can tell that the people who are involved in it are all wrestling fans. And they're going to be uploading tons of WWE content to Netflix in the coming weeks and months. So it's worth it if you are a wrestling fan to now subscribe to Netflix to be able to see Monday Night Raw. 508-996-0500. Going to take a break here and be back in a few moments. Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. App chat. Open line voicemails on the WBSM app. A programming note coming up tomorrow morning. As I mentioned earlier, today we will have new council president Shane Burgo in at 8 a.m. But tomorrow at 8 a.m., we're going to be talking with the Long Island medium herself, Teresa Caputo. She's coming to Medford, Massachusetts, to the Chevalier Theater in February for two shows. And she's going to join us to tell us what we can expect from those shows and to talk a little bit about her gift and how it all works. Because, listen, for years I've been interviewing people on Spooky South Coast that have psychic abilities. And to me, you know, we could always do shows where psychics come on and take phone calls and give free readings to people. But that's only really interesting to the psychic and to the person that's getting the reading, really. Like, it gets pretty much, for the person listening, it's a bit of a two-note, unless they know the person that's getting the reading. So I rather would talk to people who have these abilities about how it works and about, you know, how it's affected their lives and things like that. So we'll talk with Teresa about all of that. And, of course, if you want to get tickets to that show or to one of those shows that'll be happening at the Chevalier Theater, you can get those at Ticketmaster.com. And the Chevalier is a great theater. It's relatively easy to get to. just outside of Boston. And you have to, like, when I've gone there, I've parked a little bit down the street and walked a block or two. There's some public parking, and then I walked, I'd say probably about two blocks to the theater itself. But the theater is beautiful. It's a great place to see a show. And when you get out, there's still some restaurants and bars and stuff in the area that are open. So you can have a full evening for yourself, or you can go to one of them before the show, if that's what you'd prefer to do. But it really was. I saw the Monkees there. I saw Mike Nesmith and Mickey Dolenz about a month before Nez passed away. And it was quite the place. And I love going to all these different theaters across New England that we have kept alive and are still going, because they're great intimate venues to see fantastic shows. And they're also important parts of their community. They're the community theater's home base. They're where kids go on field trips and to see shows and to learn and to study. And so to me, you know, those are kind of the lifeblood of the art scene. So it's a good place to go. And if you are into what Teresa Caputo does, you could be one of the lucky people who get a reading when you're in the audience. So we'll talk to her tomorrow morning, just after the 8 o'clock news. But right now, I've got to take one final break for this hour. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We are actually